brought the free gift on all these offenders, because all the other people, they start off, I mean, you're born, you're technically innocent until you've, you know, and they were starting the state of innocence. I mean, you know, but again, God knows what a man is and whether he chooses or not or whatever. But, you know, hey, let's not go into that right now. But the free gift is of many offenses to justification. So, and just like Adam, though they did not sin like Adam, and though we did not live like Jesus, his sacrifice, the free gift, abounds for many offenders, to many people who are justified, and many people who are righteous, and many who add to their virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to all these things, godliness, uprightness, you know, and they escape the corruption that is in this world through lust, through the action of one man. And that's the grace that abounds. And people think, oh, I don't see that. He that hath not these things, Peter said, is blind and does not see afar off, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. He that lacketh these things is blind. Okay. Hey. You don't believe it? I guarantee you ain't going to receive it. Until you believe it. And that will be given. If you are called according to his purpose. So if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Notice, here it is plainly stated. The gift of righteousness. And people say, well, it's only righteousness that is imputed. See, you are a sinner and a saint at the same time. And God puts on his, and I made this joke before, he puts on his goggles that he looks at you and he says, ooh. So, you know, if he took the goggles off, he would see you having sex with a prostitute or shooting yourself up with heroin. But he puts on the goggles and lo and behold, he sees the righteousness of Christ. And that is literally the doctrine they teach. That he doesn't see your sin anymore. He sees Christ's righteousness. And you know, and there is a grain of truth in that, in spite of the sin that I might still be in, God's forbearance, which I do not despise by any means, leads me to repentance. Meaning I might be in a place where I'm sinning now, but God, because of his grace, and because of the faith that I've already displayed, sees me somewhere else. But the thing is, just like Sarah, she got pregnant and had a baby. So I, if I am a sinner in a sinful place, and I have received the promises of God, and I have faith in God, and therefore I will be saved, God is going to take me from that place of sin, and he will move me to a place of righteousness. So that I will receive, that is the grace and the gift of righteousness. Because righteousness is a gift. And we will reign in life. I believe that I'm going to reign in life. That means in life, I reign as Christ reigns in heaven. I will, you know, in my heart, I reign with Christ. I sit down with him in his throne. It says, he that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. I am sat down with Christ in his throne in my heart. His throne is in my heart. He is sat down in the chambers of my hearts. And he is reigning. And I am sitting there reigning with him. By one. Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, upon the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Very simple. This is repeating himself, you know, just to make it clear, you know, by one offense to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one to all men justification of life. So it's like there's also this duality. That one man made everybody a sinner, another man made many righteous. He doesn't make everybody righteous. But his blood was powerful enough to make all righteous. But the point is that one person has this huge effect on a bunch of people. But it's the opposite effect. So they're sort of like anti-types of each other. I mean, well, not anti-type. Anti-type really means like the actual thing. Like if
if Joshua, say, was a type of Christ, then Christ is the antitype of Joshua, see? So they're more like countertypes, you know what I mean? They're contrary to one another. But a similar action from one to many, from one to many. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so shall by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And again, it's not just a promise. Like if it would be like Abraham's promise, Sarah, you're going to conceive a son. Oh, I believe. And then the son never comes. Right? And they say, well, he imputed us with a son. See, it was only imputed. I mean, because righteousness is imputed to us while we are yet sinners. Meaning, God doesn't look at all the sins we have committed. That's all like it wiped out. He doesn't count it against us. Because he could. In spite of the fact that we turn our lives around, he could still count all that past against us. But he doesn't. It's not imputed. And also, he counts, even when we are still maybe in sin now, if we are called according to his purpose and we have faith in him, he looks beyond even the things we do now. And he brings us to a better place. See, because of faith. But we got to believe in that. Well, but even so, the baby's got to get born. And the baby's got to grow up, and he has children too. So it goes from righteousness to righteousness, from faith to faith, from knowledge to temperance, from temperance to virtue, or whatever order you want. It really doesn't matter. Peter's whole point is let's go on from faith to and you never stop having faith. Just like it goes, it's not from virtue. We go from faith to virtue. No, I got virtue, but no faith. No. You add your faith, virtue. You add your faith and virtue, knowledge. You add your faith, virtue, and knowledge. You're going to add temperance. To faith, virtue, knowledge, and temperance, you're going to add brotherly kindness. To faith, virtue, knowledge, and temperance, you're going to add brotherly kindness. You're going to add love. You know, or you're going to add patience. Or you're going to add, you know, you're going to keep adding all these things, and they're going to just pile up. That's grace. Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound. Man, law. Now it made lots of people lawbreakers, because he had all of these rules. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Wow, because the bigger sinner I am, the more gracious God becomes. But it kind of goes back to what he was saying before. If by my lie, the righteousness of God is commended, well then, why does he find me guilty? Because I'm just... all I'm doing is proving him right, you know? I'm sort of helping his cause. I mean, God wants to be gracious. I mean, so that as sin, verse 21, the last verse, that as sin hath reign unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness